الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على العباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama kiram, brothers and elders in Islam, Hazrat Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to come close to the minbar. Normally, it is being recorded when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to address the Sahaba ikram ridwanullah alaihim ajma'in. He used to sit on the minbar, and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to assemble and come around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to come close to the minbar. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam climbed up the stairs of the minbar. The first day he said Ameen, the second one he said Ameen, and the third one he said Ameen. This was an unusual practice. Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit on the minbar. Thereafter, he used to advise the companions. But here on this occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Ameen three times when he ascended the minbar. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam descended from the minbar, then the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired, "O Prophet of Allah, today we have witnessed something that we have not witnessed before. And that is, you had mentioned Ameen every time you climbed onto the step of the minbar." Upon this, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that he says, "Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me, and when I ascended the first step, he said, 'Woe unto that person, man adraka Ramadan falam yughfar lahu.' That person finds Ramadan, gets the opportunity of Ramadan, and he has not forgiven." So I said Ameen upon this. The second step, he said, "Woe unto that person, zukirta indahu falam yusalli alayk," that you are mentioned before him, but he does not send durood upon you. So I said Ameen. And the third step, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that ba'da man adraka abawayhi al-kibr indahu aw ahaduhuma falam yudkhilahu al-jannah aw kama qala Jibreel alayhi salam. He says that woe unto that person who his parents reach old age, or one of them reaches old age, and through serving them he does not enter into paradise. And I said Ameen. Here the commentators mention that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and mentioned these curses, so to say, a warning, so to say, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Ameen. In some riwayats it mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed to say Ameen. Let's stop here for a moment and think that when somebody makes a baddua or curses somebody or says something, then we all get scared. When it's especially if it's an elderly person, elder, senior of the family, etc., a pious person, who can be more greater in rank than Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam from the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who can be greater in rank than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? And this is not being done. The angels do not come out of their own on their own side, but they are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They la ya'suna Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. This is a quality of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they command, fulfill whatever command is given to them, they fulfill. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, had sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he had sent him here, he's on the in the masjid, in the minbar. What greater place you can get than the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructed to say Ameen. So these are three occasions or three actions that we should be really careful about, or we should be really vigilant about, that we do not fall in the category of these three people. The first people are those people that get the month of Ramadan, falam yughfar lahu, and that person is not forgiven. If you go to see this hadith, three greatest benefactors of humanity are mentioned here. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is our greatest benefactor. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter, our parents. These are the sequence, or this is the line. Our greatest benefactor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, children sitting there forming their own jamaats the last 2 weeks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the greatest benefactor for humanity. All the favors are from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how small they may be, no matter how great they may be. Thereafter, from insaniyat, from the human race, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest benefactor to humanity and for the entire world. It's been sent as rahmatul lil alameen, as a mercy for all the worlds. And thereafter, our benefactors are our parents. So in this hadith we find the same sequence is mentioned. And thereafter, what is mentioned here, what is highlighted here, is the great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are granted to us here. And the person, because of not being appreciative of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ungrateful for the ni'mat and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find this badduas are made. We all know when somebody is given some ni'mat, some gifts, some bounty, what happens? And if that person disappreciates it, what happens to him? The person buys something for his son or for his child, etc., and that person abuses it, then what do you feel? You feel this person was not worthy of this. I should not have even given it to him in the first place. And what happens? It draws your anger and your displeasure when you give him that ni'mat. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted each one of us this great ni'mat of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that those people that abuse this month, other words, they are not forgiven. They are not forgiven in this month, the month that is filled up with occasions of forgiveness from the morning till the evening. Person is fasting, like we mentioned last Friday, the fish in the sea are making dua istighfar, making istighfar for that person. Definitely, inshallah, that person who is fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who just feeds the fasting person, all his sins are forgiven. That person that stands up for the Taraweeh Salat, having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the sake of sawab, for the sake of reward, his sins are forgiven. That person that stands up on Laylatul Qadr, also iman and wahtisaban, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the intention of reward, his sins are forgiven. And so many other occasions, the person that lightens the burden of the people that are working underneath him, his sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many occasions for the forgiveness of the sins, and the arsh, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that carry the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there to say ameen to the du'as of those people that are fasting. So they are making dua for the istighfar, and the ameen of the farishtas, coupled with the ameen of the farishtas, guarantees their forgiveness as well. And similarly, when a person is obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he draws the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Mubarak month, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. 10 special days, the second part of Ramadan that we are going through here, are the days of maghfirat, the days of forgiveness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last 10 days are days where there is emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. And in the end also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the person, especially the announcement that is made on the day of Eid, that ghafartu lakum, baddaltu sayyatikum hasanat, I have forgiven you, and I have exchanged your evil deeds into good deeds. So all the way we find in the month of Ramadan, occasions for the forgiveness of a person's sins. And yet, a person who gets this, and he is healthy, he has all the facilities and all the means of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter is so unappreciative of this month that he does not show obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of fasting, in the form of performing the taraweeh, etc., then here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes bad dua for that person. It's a time for us to see and analyze and do some introspection and see whether we are following the right course, and we are at least trying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get ourselves forgiven. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorts us and tells us also further in the hadith that four things you should do abundantly, and one of them is to seek istighfar, tastaghfirunahu, seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. So the announcements of forgiveness, or the occasions and opportunities of forgiveness, are so abundant and so much in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, yet a person is so heedless and so unmindful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he carries on in his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not get himself forgiven. For him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made baddua. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and guidance to make maximum use of this Mubarak month of Ramadan for our forgiveness, for our spiritual elevation, for our acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions is that when I took the second step, then Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, woe unto that person before whom your name is taken, falam yusalli alayk, and he does not send durood upon you. He does not send durood upon you. As I mentioned, the greatest benefactor in humanity, for humanity, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was sent as rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy for all the worlds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's favors upon this ummah are such, we cannot even imagine. We cannot even fathom the great sacrifices Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had underwent and gone through in order to send this, get this deen through to us and to propagate this deen to every human being on the face of the earth. The difficulties, the personal hardships and difficulties Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had underwent. His Mubarak tooth had become shaheed. He was injured on his Mubarak head. He had to leave his town. He had to leave his family and belongings in the area. He had to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, the place that was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the people were out to take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great sacrifice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made. And even on the day of judgment, from all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, it will only be Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will say ummati, ummati, while others will say nafsi, nafsi. He will be the one that will be concerned most for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the chapter on his own, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had undergone such hardships that we cannot even imagine, for the sake of the ummah, for the sake of us, for the sake of me and you. And here the Mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken. A person is so ungrateful that he does not even say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does not even say durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon the greatest benefactor towards humanity. So here also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says ameen. And not sending durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam renders a person very, very unfortunate, person that has lost his way towards paradise, a person that has no appreciation for the bounties and favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the ummah. And yet we find on the other hand great rewards just for sending one durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so beloved in the sight of Allah that 10 mercies come down to that person that sends one durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The angels make dua for that person. His sins, all his sins are forgiven, and it's mentioned that his status is elevated and he gets a reward equal to Mount Uhud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for that person on the day of judgment. Apart from this, we find great, numerous rewards, so too many to count here. People have written complete books on the subject, the virtues of the root of the Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah is famous, where we find that so many virtues are mentioned there. A person is immune from difficulty and hardship in this world. Poverty is taken away. He's assisted against his enemies. He gains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is saved from the terrors of the day of judgment. And he gets a place close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He becomes deserving of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He becomes beloved in the eyes of the people as well by reciting the durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is saved from calamities and difficulties and hardships by reciting the durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if there was not even single reward for reciting the durood, the favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so countless that a person with dignity and respect will definitely send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why ulama have mentioned at least to read durood once in a lifetime is completely faraz. Some of them are saying that it is wajib every time you hear the name, whereas the preferred opinion, it is mustahab when you hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here that was the second warning that was sounded, or the second dua of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah and Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned ameen. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when I took the third step, then there Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told me that woe to that person who finds both his parents in old age, or one of them, and through not serving them, he does not enter into paradise. Then here to this also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, ameen. And the closest, the third degree of benefit for us is from our parents. And here we find a person who now an occasion has come, he had been brought up by his parents, the favor and the comfort that they had given him and everything they had caused him, the rearing up and upbringing of the parents is all well known to us, especially when a child person comes into this dunya and he passes those ages, when he becomes self-sufficient, we know how dependent he is. And it is the parents whose hearts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instilled that mercy and that love and that compassion and that consideration that we cannot even think about. We cannot even imagine amount of love in the hearts of the parents. That is why it is mentioned, the love of the parents of the children is such that it is a selfless love. Not like the love of the child for the parents, because the love of the child of the parents is in proportion to his dependence of the parents. Slowly, when you find him becoming self-sufficient, we find him drifting away. But when you look at the parents, they love the child the day he was born. When even a child reaches the age 80, 90 years old, still if the parents are alive, they love the child in the same manner like they loved him the day he was born. So here, a person, this is the height of ingratitude that a person does not save his spirit, says, does not take this unique opportunity, make use of this unique opportunity and enter himself into paradise. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for that person who is so ungrateful, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says, Ameen, that may that bold destruction be to that person who finds his parents, both of them or one of them, in old age, and thereafter he does not enter into paradise by serving them. Worthy of praise are those people that look after their parents. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as far as this aspect of our deen is concerned, tells us explicitly in the Holy Quran that وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has decreed that none will be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And you should be kind and respectful towards your parents. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Mufassirin mention, has joined up kindness to the parents with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show our duty towards the humanity around us. After our duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through worshipping Him is the duty towards our parents, to be kind towards your parents. And this should have been sufficient, like is mentioned many other verses, وَبِالْ وَالِدِينَ إِحْسَانًا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here and draws a picture of that state when the parents are not just young, the parents are old, dependent, weak, and sometimes, as we say, they become unreasonable, totally dependent, very sensitive, etc. Imma yablughanna indaka al-kibra ahaduhuma aw kilahuma. Nearly the same words are used here that is used by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if one of them, both of them, reach old age, or one of them reaches old age, then what should happen? As I mentioned, in all stages of life, you are there told to do good and be respectful towards our parents. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us when they reach old age, and we all know what with old age, what comes with old age. Person becomes impatient with old age. A person becomes sometimes unreasonable in old age. Person cannot even reason out sometimes in old age. He becomes very sensitive when he becomes old, etc. He becomes very dependent when he becomes old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. That's why it is mentioned that we should seek also in the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sought protection min arzalil umur. That part of life when a person becomes completely dependent and becomes weak and weary and dependent, etc., and sometimes becomes senile, that also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person reaches that age, then you know how difficult it is to look after that person, to fulfill the rights of that person. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us? فَلَا تَكُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not tell them one word of contempt, one word of anger. Do not even say uff to them. One riwayat is mentioned, if there was a word even below that word uff, then it would have been mentioned. Other words, do not say any word that will injure them, that will hurt them, that will cause some pain and discomfort to them, even in that state. In that state when they are so weak, in that state when they become so unreasonable, in that state when becomes a difficulty and so difficult to handle, in that state when they are so sensitive, don't tell them even uff. That is the amount of tolerance that you ought to have with your parents because of the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. This is regardless of the spiritual position of that person, or regardless of how clever or how educated that person is. Some of our young folks sometimes forget, they feel that I am a qualified man. This old man, ma'azallah, this person here has no qualifications. He's not even go to school. He's gone to standard 2, etc. How should I be there respecting this person? It's not because of the qualification. It's because of the maqam and status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to the parent, that it demands that you should respect your parents. And this is the command, explicit command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. And do not reproach them, do not scold them. Do not scold them. So commonly you find when an elderly person does something out of the way, the son is very fast and very quick in scolding the parent and telling him, how are you doing this in this manner? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, don't tell them, oof, don't hurt their feelings, and don't even scold them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And speak with them respectable words. Speak with them with respectable words, kindly, softly, and humbly. Speak with them words of respect because of the position that they have. And وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. This is how you should conduct yourself as far as your speech is concerned. What should be your attitude and behavior towards your parents? وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And submit to them in humility out of compassion. Submit to them in humility, and this humility should not be only on the top, on the surface, just to show him, no, out of compassion and real genuine love and kindness for your parents, you should submit before them with humility. Irrespective of your position, who you may be, a child can never surpass his parents, irrespective and regardless of his position, whether it is spiritual, whether it is financial, whether it is social, he can never surpass the position of his father. The son remains the son, and the child remains the child, and the father remains the father, and that's what you should remember at all times. As I mentioned, sometimes we find because of our qualifications or because of the advancements in science and technology, we may outreach them as far as the dunya is concerned, but their maqam still remains far above us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here that you should submit in humility before them out of compassion. And then also, you will not be able to fulfill their rights. وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. And thereafter make dua for them, that, oh Allah, have mercy on them, like how they had brought me up. Like how they had brought me up, you have mercy on them. That person, no matter how unreasonable he be, he cannot become more unreasonable than that little child when we were children. No matter how weak that person may be, he cannot become weaker than that child when me and you were little children, how weak we were. You could not even utter one word. We could not even move ourselves, could not even cleanse ourselves, could not even express our desires. We cannot become that. So here, they had gone through that phase when they had seen to the needs of us, me and you, and all of us in that state. So we cannot fulfill their, rights. So what we should do thereafter in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on them, like how they had brought me up when I was small. So this year we find, and if you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, replete and full up with the rights of the parent. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells this person who asked him, O Prophet of Allah, what are the rights of my parents upon me? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them, they are your paradise or they are your jahannam. They are your jannat or they are your jahannam. Other words, if you fulfill their rights, look after them, obey them, and be courteous and kind to them, then you will become a means, they will become a means of your entry into paradise. And if on the conversely, if you do not fulfill their rights, and you are disobedient to them, then they will become a means of you entering into Jahannam. One riwayat is mentioned that that person who is obedient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his parents, then two doors of paradise are open for him. And if he's one parent, then one door. And if he's disobedient, then two doors from the doors of Jahannam are open for that person. One riwayat is mentioned that that person that is obedient to his father, obedient to his parents, he just looks at his parents with love and mercy, then for every look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the reward of an accepted Hajj. This shows the greatness of Allah, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the status of the parent. He looks at his parent with love and devotion, with love and affection. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the reward of one accepted Hajj. And in some riwayats it's mentioned, the companions ask, what, O Prophet of Allah, if a person looks at his parents 100 times a day, said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward of 100 Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. That is just for looking at the parents. What about those parents, those people that serve the parents, go out of the way and fulfill the rights of the parents, though there is no favor they doing towards the parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this as a duty upon them. And if a person fails to do this, then as mentioned here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's curse is directed towards this person. There's so many other riwayats concerning the parents, that the best door to enter into paradise is the door of the father. And if you want, look after it or destroy it. And similarly, we find other riwayats showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure lies in the pleasure of the father, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure lies in the displeasure of the father. So the duties towards the parents here are found in the Quran Pak. Not only one place, in many other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that do good towards your parents. And we should remember that a person's success, no matter in this world, a person's success in the world and the hereafter will be in obedience to his parents. And if a person is disobedient to his parents, it's mentioned that all the other sins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays, but the punishment thereof. But as far as disobedient to parents is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right in this dunya, brings about the punishment for that person who's disobedient to his parents. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to appreciate this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the means of our spiritual elevation and our forgiveness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we appreciate the great bounties and favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to fulfill the rights of our parents and make them a means of our entry into paradise. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.